Yeah, well, I was born out of the means of two beings, been in love with a self-caring open mom who never disappeared. Dysfunctional family explained my youth so clearly. We shared pain and tears, but we had to stay near to each other despite feeling 20 when I was 7. Blessed by the heaven, bredging for staying out of trouble. Lost inside my bubble because I needed to be cuddled. Surrounded by models who were popping gas like bottles. With Buxton trying to make a dime to singing. We caged in and trying to make a dime for ramen. A second-class citizen who couldn't care to listen. And trying to find a way to breathe this life through a pencil. It seems fair to all. Love meets us all. Bring down the wall, let the peace steal the globe. And just learn from the greats. Avoid all the mismatch. Music's my best therapy. I gave birth to symphony. Alive and so healthy. The last name is Melody. Joyfully harmonious.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Music's on the Menu. And happy first day of NFL free agency to those who celebrate. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird, joined alongside me by
Hugh Dana.
And we'll shortly also be joined by friend of the show, former guest, and now recurring guest, DJ Sandu. He will be in here in due course to, engage in the show with us. But not quite here yet, because he had to come here from the depths of Surrey, so bit of a drive, of course, especially at this hour.
But he made it.
But he did make
or
it.
Or will make it.
Yeah. How are you doing today, Hugh?
I'm all right. First day of free agency. It's kind of a fun day for, NFL fans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a hater, so the haters lost today when Saquon signed for the Eagles. But other than that, it's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's Monday.
Are the Titans going to trade for T. Higgins now?
We'll find out.
Now that the request has been made?
I mean, they have his old OC as their new head coach. So, mm-hmm. We'll find out.
I know that's your dream.
That would be gorgeous.
Yeah.
That'd be gorgeous. That'd be my wallpaper. Anyways.
Him at the press conference holding up the jersey.
Yeah. Those AI... Or just like those bad, photoshopped images of jerseys on
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm. He was a big Tennessee Titans fan.
Yeah.
For context. So today, what we're going to be doing is, next week we'll have some music to talk about with the Ariana Grande album. We'll have had our time to digest that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really in the mood for having another just pure music episode. So, I went onto the r/hiphopheads subreddit and the r/popheads subreddit to compile a collection of predictions, just like old threads of predictions that people had made, and gone through some of them.
Ooh.
And we're going to...
Filtered the best ones.
Hopefully I filtered the best ones. And we're just going to go over some of them, discuss them, maybe think about what informed this prediction, or just has the prediction come true or not in by any stretch of the imagination? Is it like partially there or fully or whatever the case may be? I also went to the R&B subreddit to try to do the same thing because we talk about R&B on this show occasionally as well too, but their sub is just not as active.
Oh yeah, no way.
As pop and hip hop, it's got 600,000 subscribers to it, so I thought it would still be there'd be something, but all the threads that came up had 10 comments, so and the hip hop and pop ones had thousands.
Yeah, of course.
So,
all right, let's dive in. Let's get right into it. I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll just play some random tune.
Yeah, when the time comes.
The flow of the conversation. Let the conversation guide the music.
Mm-hmm. So we'll start with the hip hop ones here. So the first one, coming from user 80 cents richer.
Oh, we're shouting the users out too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you've got to, man. You got to give credit. You got to give people their credit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Or just okay.
I'm going to give people their credit.
Okay.
So this hip hop heads predictions thread, for context, was a thread for predictions for 10 years from now, and the thread is 10 years old.
Oh no.
So, pretty perfect timing to bring some of this stuff up.
Oh no.
So
this could be crazy. Okay. So 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Let's quickly think about what's going on.
2014. So the key main thing that was key to me to think about was there's obviously a lot of like Kendrick Lamar predictions at this time because people make predictions about him because he was coming off of Good Kid, Mad City. To Pimp a Butterfly hadn't come out yet, right?
Okay.
So, because that comes out in 2015. So, none of like the Kendrick predictions are informed by his greatest album, right? So that's a thing. As well with Drake, like Views and If You're Reading This hadn't come out yet either because this is 2014. Yeah. So he's only got like
Nothing Was the Same.
Take Care and Nothing Was the Same as his big albums. Travis Scott was not mentioned in any of these because
no,
he wasn't
in a
part of the zeitgeist.
2014 pop is still the dominant genre,
mm-hmm.
as far as I can remember.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Like that's like Photograph, Ed Sheeran, mm-hmm. isn't it? Bad
yeah.
Blood, Taylor
yeah.
Swift.
Like 1989 had just come out. Mm-hmm.
Thinking Out Loud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that Maroon 5 album, Chandelier by. Okay, so yeah, so the
yeah
okay.
like Tyler the Creator hadn't fully gone through his artistic evolution yet either. Like Cherry Bomb is still yet to come out as well. So,
but Bobby Shmurda's. Hot.
No, I don't even think Bobby Shmurda was a thing in 2014.
Yeah,
I think he was a 2015 thing.
Are you sure?
I think so. I think that... Never mind, I stand corrected. That's a 2014 song, so...
What song?
Hot People.
Hot Boy?
Hot Boy. So, anyway, the first...
Yeah, let's hear this.
This first prediction from user 80 Cent Richer. Drake will be in the position Jay-Z is right now, becoming more of a businessman and still being relevant in mainstream rap, but emphasizing like that becoming more of a businessman thing.
Interesting. That's a pretty accurate. I mean, that's more accurate than I thought we would get off the bat.
Well, okay, the first prediction was a joke. Like the top comment was a complete joke.
What was it?
Oh, I didn't write it down. So I don't even have most of it. The top comment in this how do I work
anyways,
Reddit
so,
it was a joke, it wasn't serious.
Oh,
I tried to get like serious predictions here, but Drake becoming more of a businessman, you think this is an accurate prediction?
No, he's not really a businessman. Drake is still very, very much committed to his position in rap, I think.
Mm-hmm. DJ just walked in.
Yeah, Sandy Man's coming. I hold off what I'm saying, but I think Drake is still very much committed to where he is in rap. I think he still really cares about where he is in rap.
And oh my goodness, he's arrived.
It's I'm late.
No worries, man. You're here at all, and that's the important thing.
This is, like, not live, right?
No, You're this live. Is live.
You're live.
Oh, great. Cool.
Yeah, Come so no swearing, please.
I wouldn't ever do that.
Just hop right in, man.
Yeah. We're firmly in the swing of things here. Do you have any idea what we're doing?
No idea at all.
Because I didn't know before we came in.
Oh, I told you, though.
Yeah, you're right.
I was given... I'm here with the...
Can you talk... Can you turn the microphone around so you can be speaking, like, straight at you a bit more?
Okay. Whoa, this is crazy.
Now you're sounding crispy. There we go. So what I did is I went to the hip-hop head subreddit and the pop head subreddit, and I just pulled up... And I just went to, like, threads of predictions that had been made in years past.
Yeah.
And just compiled some of the better ones, I think. And we're just sort of discussing the predictions, talking about, like, what do you think informed the predictions? Are they true? Are they accurate at all? Did they come true? So that's what we're doing today.
We just dove into the first one.
Yeah.
So, which
just
was...
Just dove into the first one. So pretty good timing. So this predictions thread from the hip... All these hip-hop heads predictions... The rap ones that we're starting out with here. It was a thread that was for predictions for 10 years from now, and the thread is 10 years old. So
wow.
This is from 2014, all these predictions.
Jeez.
So, all of these, you understand them with, like, the context of what
Got
things
it.
Were.
Got it, the time.
Mm-hmm. So the first one, to hear it again, is... Drake will be in the position Jay-Z is right now, becoming more of a businessman and still being relevant in mainstream rap.
Pretty accurate. Kind of accurate. He's still relevant.
He's still relevant.
By 2014, Jay-Z was not really involved in music that much, other than collaborating on people's projects. Mm-hmm. But
when
Drake
was
is...
Watch the Throne?
Watch the Throne was 2011.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But...
Wow. That's okay.
And that's what we had 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Man. That's crazy. But... I'd say he's like that in business, not as, like, solely focused on it, though, because he's still actively releasing music and albums. He doesn't quit releasing albums, but
no.
he is, you know, executive producing shows, working on business and doing stuff like that. So I'd say he's getting there.
Yeah. The one thing I'd say is that I think Drake's, like, unlike Jay-Z back then, like, since I've been, like, cognizant of who Jay-Z is and kind of the power he wields, he hasn't really been, like, even, he's kind of just been, like, a ghost in the atmosphere. Like, Jay-Z's not really been present in the music. Whereas 10 years, like, now, Drake still really cares about his position, not just in music, but just in, not just in rap, but I think just in music in general. Yeah. You heard his bars on First Person Shooter about Michael Jackson. Like, although, like, I mean, that prediction is obviously wrong. It's impossible to get it right, honestly.
Yeah.
But just thinking, like, what I would have thought Drake would have done. Like, Hold Onward, Going Home just came out. So he's only had one, like, pop song. And that's, like, the song that kind of convinces him that he has to go that direction, right? Mm-hmm. Because that song... Because he considers this his magnum opus, and that being the biggest song convinces him, okay, I'm not going to take rap serious anymore. I need to just, I'm just going to go this way.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what I would have predicted, but I don't think I would have seen Drake where he is right now, where he's like, I mean, I don't know how hungry Drake is. He still releases albums, and I think they're really good still.
I know.
But I don't think Drake is interested in being what Jay-Z is. No. Where Jay-Z kind of floats up. Jay-Z's kind of just like this idea almost now, where he's just like kind of like the boss, the head honcho, but he's never around. And Drake wants to be in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Drake wants to be the man in the arena still. I don't think that'll ever change. I don't know when or why Drake would stop releasing music, because he's clearly still, like, do you remember when Her Loss came out? And he posted the chart, and it was like Rich Flex at 2 and Taylor Swift was at 1, and he crossed her out.
Yeah.
But he left the rest of the chart. Yeah. Like, he's still really, like, hyper-competitive, which I love, man. That means more Drizzy Drake.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting – I mean, I'm interested why – obviously, like, I don't even know where that take would have come from, because, like, in 2014, I guess Drake is technically the – one of the biggest rap stars, him and Kanye at that point. Like we mentioned, mm-hmm. Kendrick Lamar's not giant yet. Hasn't, like, ballooned to where...
That was not until after To Pimp a Butterfly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or maybe people can make the argument, damn, because that's when he had critical, mm-hmm. not critical success, but also commercial success with Humble and all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but I think the comparison is also just a little... I wouldn't expect it, because they seem like they're from totally different areas. I mean, Jay-Z's from New York. He's very... Like, he very much grew up, like, the things he talks about in The Blueprint and all those, like, the Black Album, they're very different from the subject matter of Drake's albums, so.
Yeah, like Jay-Z's, kind of, I feel like, always had the, like, hustler's mentality.
Yeah, so it was never really exclusive to music. It was not like, well, I don't really know too much about Jay-Z if he's passionate about music, but it seems like it was just his work ethic overall.
Yeah.
Because he very soon just became, like, this ominous music executive. Whose main focus is just bringing up and coming rappers, bringing them in, you know, making them a whole household name or whatever. Drake at that time, if you look at things Drake has done, is he's probably the best. I'd say he was, like, the biggest rapper at that time in 2014. Now, I think his main goal was not just stay at that level. He wanted to pretty much become the face of the music industry overall.
Yeah.
So he wanted to, like, step into pop stardom, all these things, Fanatics, and just kind of, like, Drake mania. So I think that's the main difference. I don't think Jay-Z ever wanted that.
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of point you brought up, whereas, like, maybe, like, it almost seems like Drake likes making music more than Jay-Z, because you kind of mentioned, like, a lot of Jay-Z's music is about getting rich and kind of beating the struggle, whereas Drake's music is kind of just about the fluff of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, I mean, obviously, we couldn't answer that question.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting point. Should we move on?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if...
Well, I think for me, I mean, you guys have...
Should I hold the phone and you answer the next question?
Well, I wrote all these down, though.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, for me on this one, like, I think you made a good point about, like, Jay-Z. Like, the analogy I came up with in my head is you're talking about how, like, Jay-Z's kind of just in the atmosphere of hip-hop now and not part of it. Like Jay-Z's like Eisenhower in England, direct, like, organizing how D-Day's going to be. God. And Drake's still trying to storm the beaches, you know?
And he's successfully storming
That's
the beaches.
That's a wild analogy. Oh, my God.
Drake is Tom Hanks, man. He made it up the beach. Anyways, should we move on?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you get what I'm getting at.
No, I like it. I like it.
All right. So this next one comes from Yawk X4.
Well, we're shouting out the posters, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case they have such a brutal take. You can be like, Yawk X4, man.
Let's see what he's got.
Kendrick's going to try different genres, period. Schoolboy Q is going to be known as the funny gangsta slash popular rapper, sort of like Snoop.
Oh, because that's off of Collard Greens, Oxymoron, mm-hmm. Man of the Year. Yeah. Wow, he was never that hot again.
No, nope.
Never.
But Schoolboy Q is one of those guys who doesn't really like being famous, I don't think. You know, like, kind of how Frank Ocean hates what comes with making music, and mm-hmm. so he just doesn't make music?
Yeah.
I feel like Schoolboy Q almost became that person.
I don't know enough about Schoolboy Q, but he has been actively releasing music.
He just dropped an album last week.
Yeah, exactly. But he's not at all become, like, anything like a Snoop Dogg-esque figure.
Yeah, and I can't even see during Oxymoron him being...
Same.
being that.
I think maybe just the fact that it's a lot of weed rap might have been the thing that... And he's got, like, charisma and personality on the album, so maybe that's what...
But we see that, 2014, that's what you gotta, like, keep in mind.
Yeah, at the time. Like, he's just coming off, like, the most successful album he's come out with and all
Dude,
that.
He was also on 2 On.
I love with Tinashe, yeah. I remember that.
So, like, he was, like... Like, I pulled up the top hits of 2014. The first one is New Flame by Chris Brown, and then it's 2 Schoolboy Q songs. So, like, he was clearly, like, the hot rapper of the year. Like, as I scroll through here, man, there's Man of the Year. Like, a lot of this is, like, Rather Be, Clean Bandit, Habits, Style, Taylor Swift, Team, Lord, Waves, Mr. Probes, Nico and Vins, Talking Body. So, like, it's still, like, pop dominant.
Yeah.
Like, you turn on Kiss FM and they're playing Nico and Vins.
Yeah.
They don't start playing Lil Baby for, like, 4 years.
Not until 2019. 3 years. Yeah.
So, wow. Like, it's crazy that Schoolboy Q was, like, up there in hip-hop.
Yeah. Well, I think he just blew off.
Like, well, that's a great album.
Yeah.
And that's Oxymoron, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Kendrick Lamar one, that's, what did he say, he's going to test out a lot of genres?
Yeah.
That was just a safe take at that
point. it's a safe take. I don't even know if it's a very true take.
No.
Because T-Pab is the only departure from, like, hip-hop sounds that he's done, really.
He incorporated a lot of sub-genres.
Yeah, there's still, like, a whole lot of,
hip-hop,
like,
genre. Like, To Pimp a Butterfly, it revels in jazz a lot, but you can't just call it. Yeah, but you can't just call it a soul jazz record. So
it's still a hip hop record.
Yeah, but I think that's what they're saying, like, bringing in.
So he is a person that's very influenced by, or he likes to seek out sampling and making use of a lot of different kinds of genres. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first single that he released, or the standalone single before Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, was The Heart Part 5.
Yeah.
Remember, I heard the Marvin Gaye sample. I was like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. Like, I just knew it. And you know he's going to do something like that. So even at the time, I mean, we were kids, so maybe you didn't know, but I feel like you would have, because even Good Kid, Mad City had a lot of samples.
Yeah, for sure.
Who at that time had, because, like, even now, like, what artists, like, take full-on sonic genre changes on their records? Like, I can really only think of Beyonce.
Lil Yachty, never mind.
Lil Yachty.
Did, yeah.
But back then, who, like, I would love to know. Maybe he just thought that Kendrick had, like, really reached the pinnacle of how we could rap, and so he would just therefore just switch. Because I'm curious why, like, that's such an interesting take at the time.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if anyone was even doing that, really. Like,
people, it's more so much more a thing now, because I think people are much more drawn to critical acclaim now than back then. Back then, it seems like commercial success was on everyone's mind. Or, because you see a lot of artists now that you wouldn't have expected. Just like, you know, like TikTok rappers, all these kind of things. And they're seeking out, they actually, a lot of people that you wouldn't expect to put out good music, or for them to try, you know, they just want to secure a hit or be the face of a record company, an industry plan or something. We're talking about this. A lot of people are taking, like, big steps now, or they're putting things in their music that you just wouldn't expect. Like, there's this artist I was listening to, and I'm not even remembering the name, but there's, like, in this song, it's like a TikTok catered hit, they're putting 70s psychedelic rock in there. And there's no point for them to do that. But it shows, like, you know, there's much more of artistic growth nowadays compared to then. I think it's because people are seeing the rappers of that time and they're seeing all these artists of that time and they're taking these risks. So it's definitely translated into the culture, I think.
I like that. Yeah. I like that take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a ton to add on top of that. This one's... Yeah, this one's brief. There's not a whole lot to say on this next one from the GK. Macklemore will begin an acting career, becoming another Will Smith of rap of sorts. Nah.
Whoa. Dude, Macklemore's, nah. Like, Macklemore's Where's he been? Grammy win was, dude, outrageous that it almost killed his career.
He came out with an album, like, a year and a half ago.
Clearly, it didn't go anywhere.
No, but...
The most recent Macklemore song I can think of is...
Can't Hold Us is the last one I can think
of. No, there's one more. Glorious, yeah. Glorious.
Yeah. Oh, that's by him?
No, it's again. Like Zara Larsson and him or something.
It's not Zara Larsson.
Someone like that.
Yeah, Skylar Grey.
Yeah.
Is the singer. But
that was still 2015.
That was 2017, I think. Okay. Gemini was the name of the album. Yeah. That was it had the song with Kesha on it. That's really good. I forget the name of it.
It's all just slipped me. I didn't hear
what did you just say? This.
He's got a song with Kesha on Gemini. That's a pretty good song.
Wow.
Good Old Days.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay,
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, Macklemore just... When did he win that Grammy? Was it the? It wouldn't have been.
It was 2014 Grammy.
Was it 2014 or 15?
It's 2014.
Dude, that almost killed his career. Because I remember he posted that he texted Kendrick and then Kendrick went on Big Boy's radio and was like, yeah, I didn't like that. And that was kind of it.
I didn't know about that.
Really?
I just knew it was a big
claim. He posted his DM to him like, you got robbed, man. This should be yours. And Kendrick was cool with the DM, but then he posted it and was like, and that really...
You don't need to let everyone know that you
I think
feel bad.
Kendrick just seems like a private dude and probably just didn't really like how he was being so public about the situation. I don't know. I do think, obviously, it's not even a bold take. Him winning over to Pimp Butterfly, Good Kid, M.A.A.D City was just so wrong, but it's fine.
Did it make sense, though?
No, not even as a...
That was what? He had two number ones?
That doesn't matter.
But he would win that now, wouldn't he? If you had two number ones that were as earwormy as that, would you win? Probably, right?
I mean,
it has to be at the perfect combination of critical acclaim and high commercial success.
Yeah.
You know? I do think if you look at the songs itself, they were probably not received well at all. Just from they're witty, I'd say, at the
what
most.
Do you mean?
Thrift Shop was popular, but I don't remember anyone at the time praising the song for its
Or Can't Hold Us. You know, merits. It blends in with that whole early 2010, let's celebrate life, whatever. And it's a very safe... The music's not expanding much, you know? It stays true to, the style of music at the time, how rap is at the time. It's not like it evolved rap in any way. It's not like it involved the music industry in any way. It was not like it was, you know, earth-shattering hits, because 2013 had much bigger hits, like Blurred Lines. It had Royals by Lorde. It had Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus. It had all these things that were, I think, statistically bigger commercial successes as well. So what does it beat it out on? And Good Kid, M.A.A.D City had Swimming Pools, which is a big hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think from the song structure itself and, the things it addresses, especially for 2012 rap, it was critically acclaimed right off the get-go as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think Swimming Pools was the hit from, that release cycle. I don't know if, Money Trees and Poetic Justice and...
Those have translated really well.
Oh, of course. Those are still hugely popular songs.
Those are much more super hits.
They were, hits then, though. I guess no. Don't Kill My Vibe was...
That was
a hit too.
I remember hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Macklemore had two number one hits, taking up 24 weeks of the year. So he was gonna win. That's almost half the year at number one.
Right, do you win off popularity or do you win off artistic merit?
Well, then what's the difference between that and the Billboard Music Awards?
Who won year?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm
Who won Album of the Year this year?
Who won? Taylor Swift.
And who had the best album?
With the best album? I'd say Lana Del Rey. Yeah, well, you're never going to know because people, it's all political at the end of the day, too. You know, there's a certain campaign and people associate Taylor Swift's album with her tour, not even the album itself. And it's a mind-shattering tour. It's, you know, unprecedented. So people just consciously like, oh, the tour is the album. They equated with that and they gave her that award, even though it's for an album she didn't deserve to win. Mm-hmm. And I think her fans will probably say this, too, because it's not even like top five in her discography, let alone
Midnights?
Yeah. It shouldn't even been nominated for one of the big four categories or... Yeah, but anyways, that's another.
Yeah, story. I mean,
and he didn't take up acting, Macklemore.
No, he did not.
No, he did not. So
I'm pretty sure he fell into like serious depression and drug addiction.
Yeah, jeez, I think you're right. Yeah,
yeah, he did actually.
Yeah. So I think a song on his like newest album, like the one that came out a year and a half ago, I think addresses that. So that was like the one thing I heard off of it.
I'll check that out. That's sick.
Oh my goodness, that's very long. Here we. Oh, this is a very good prediction from Jerry_Callow, and I think this will be maybe the last hip hop prediction here as we reach the 5:30 mark.
Yeah.
Tyler the Creator matures, stops with the shocking/immature lyrics, and focuses more on production. Next generation's Kanye.
Wow, that's like spot on.
Spot on, like
that's a great prediction.
Wow. Especially because he's coming off of Wolf in 2014.
Yeah,
so this is before Cherry Bomb and everything that came after. So
and Wolf is still pretty abrasive. Mm-hmm. Wolf is like still kind of a hard listen.
It is. It's not something to listen.
That's someone who really is like sonically tuned in.
Yeah,
who is like can like kind of see the evolution of the production.
Mm-hmm.
He probably also watched Loiter Squad or something, which I watched. But that's crazy spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Is he this generation's Kanye? Kinda. Kanye kind of just like kept going.
Yeah, that's the thing. This generation's Kanye is Kanye.
Yeah, he's still Kanye.
He's still around. Yeah, but his music has evolved like crazily.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler?
Yeah, what do you think his defining turning point for his music was?
Igor.
Yeah, definitely Igor.
He hit mainstream.
Yeah.
Like he crossed over from
he hit that pinnacle that you were talking about of commercial success and creative success in once.
Yeah. I remember for me it was crazy. When I heard New Magic Wand, and then when I saw that performance at the 2020 Grammys of New Magic Wand, that's when I just knew like he's a full artist. That's when I sort of commended it. Like I was always been a fan of him, but I'm not sure if you guys seen that Grammys performance.
No, it's crazy.
It because it was just I love performance art like that.
Dude, apparently that's his favorite song he ever wrote.
I love it. It's a dark song, dark album, but I know, it's really cool.
It's a really cool, I mean, now he pretty much only drops really good albums. Everything he does is super thought through and super kind of meaty. There's so much content in all of his records now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy that whoever, something Fellows or something.
Joe Callow.
Yeah.
Jerry Callow, oh my
Jerry
goodness.
Callow.
Jerry Callow.
I'm like combining syllables and mixing them up.
He probably doesn't even remember that prediction. But.
When I was going through the thread, somebody had replied to that comment from like 260 days ago. So this year they were also looking through it, I guess, maybe for their own campus show.
Hmm.
And they were like, yeah, this is a – they commended the prediction. Like, dude saw the future.
What is your favorite Tyler record, both of you?
Igor, easily.
I think it's – it's probably Call Me If You Get Lost for me. That or Flower Boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Igor
took me a while to get, I think.
Fair enough.
So the first single I think was Earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
I
think so.
I thought Earthquake came with the album.
I'm not too sure. This was late 2019, right?
I can't remember. It was 2019.
It was 2019.
I think it was February of 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, so that was...
Is it? I thought it was Boy's a Gun. I can't remember.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing I listened to or paid attention to was Earthquake. And then after that, I thought that was okay. But when I heard I Think, and then I had no idea Solange was even on it. Then you hear Solange's vocals. And, yeah, I that's when I sort of knew, like, there's a difference between this and the previous work.
Mm-hmm.
And coming into it and listening to the album with that lens, I just really took him seriously as the artist. And I think... I still have that same view when I listen to the album, so I really enjoyed it more than his others. But they're all, I think that consistent. It was a three album run, right? Flower Boy, yeah. then Igor, then yeah. Call Me If You Get Lost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All great.
Yeah. Shall we play a Tyler, the Creator song?
The single was Earthquake, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Shall we play a Tyler, the Creator song to usher us in to
sure.
the break?
True. I mean, I feel like we have to play one off of Igor.
You got it.
Let's see if there is a clean version of Igor.
Oh, yes. This is the thing that happens every time. is there a clean version of this album? Or any clean songs on it?
I am.
No? Is there one of Flower Boy? Is there a clean version of anything he's ever come out with?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Let's
see. Yeah. I remember when we talked about
no.
the estate sale, I was looking for like clean songs and I couldn't find any. So
there were
clean versions and I couldn't find any, so
yeah, there's yeah, there's nothing clean.
Yeah, unfortunate.
That's a shame.
That is a shame.
But oh wow, even Best Interest isn't clean. Never mind.
DJ, what song should we play?
Oh, there might be something off Odd Future.
Oh. What song was I listening to off that?
What name a song? Any song? We got to play a song.
Never mind. Everything on Odd Future is.
Gosh, well, this is just going swimmingly here.
Who are we just talking about? Macklemore.
Macklemore.
Just play some Macklemore.
Play some Macklemore?
Dude, play the song with Kesha. Play the song with Kesha.
Good old days?
Yeah.
Can't believe I said play some Macklemore.
And you're on air, man.
No. On the record.
That's why I was like, ask Bird to say that again. He was like, yeah, that Macklemore and Kesha song's really good. I was like, what'd you say?
Dude, I think it's good.
All right, well, listen to it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure for some people.
Let's wow. listen. These headphones are clean, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is Good Old Days by Macklemore featuring Kesha.
Told me, babe, someday these will be the good old days. All the love you forget, and all these reckless nights you regret. Someday soon your whole life's gonna change. You'll miss the magic of these good old days.
I was thinking about the band, I was thinking about the fans. We were underground, loading merch in that 12 passenger van. In a small club in Minnesota, and the snow outside of First Ave. I just wanted my name in the star. Now look at where we at, still growing up. Still growing up. I would lay in my bed and dream about what I'd become. Couldn't wait to get older, couldn't wait to be some. Now that I'm here, wishing I was still young. Those good old days.
I wish somebody would have told me, babe.
Wish I didn't think I had the answers. Wish I didn't drink all of that glass first. Wish I made it to homecoming. Got up the courage to ask her. Wish I would've gotten out of my show. Wish I put the bottle back on that shelf. Wish I wouldn't have worried about what other people thought and felt comfortable with myself. Rooftop open and the stars above. Moment frozen, sneaking out and falling in love. Me, you, and that futon. We just begun. On the grass dreaming, figuring out who I was. Those good old days.
I wish somebody would have told me, babe, that someday these would be the good old days. All the love you won't forget, and all these reckless nights you won't regret. Cause someday soon your whole life's gonna change. You'll miss the magic of the good old days.
Never thought we'd get old. Maybe we're still young. Maybe you always look back and
think it was better than it was. Maybe these are the moments. Maybe I've been missing what it's about. Been scared of the future, thinking about the past while missing out on now. We've come so far, I guess I'm proud. And I ain't worried about the wrinkles around my smile. I got some scars, I've been around. I felt some pain, I seen some things, but I'm here now. Those good old days.
You don't know what you got, till it goes, till it's gone. You don't know what you got, till it goes, till it's gone. I wish somebody would have told me, good old days, all the love you forget, and all these reckless nights you regret. Someday soon your whole life's gonna change. You'll miss the magic of these good old days.
MRG Live presents Zahara at the Fox Cabaret on March 26, 2024. Hailing from LA's Highland Park, Zahara makes detailed melodic indie rock that flits between shoegaze, post-punk, and dream pop. Their airy melodies, pensive guitar, and heart-churning lyrics join to create a dreamy indie rock. Don't miss Zahara at the Fox Cabaret on March 26th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at admitone.com. If you or someone you know has experienced sexual assault, you are not alone. Stand Informed Legal Advice Services is a new program offered by Community Legal Assistance Society that provides free legal advice to anyone who lives in BC and has experienced sexual assault in this province. Stand Informed offers up to 3 hours of free, confidential legal advice, regardless of age, gender, income, whether the assault has been reported to the police, or if you are uncertain that what you experienced is sexual assault. To access Stand Informed services, call 604-673-3143 or email standinformed@clasbc.net.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate, remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What does Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunday.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Wrestling fans, let's get ready to rumble!
Boom Pro Wrestling is coming to you live from the Great Hall at the Nest on Friday, March 22nd. Wrestling maniacs of all ages are welcome to watch these talented fighters duke it out at UBC. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and bell time is at 7:30 sharp. Enjoy the cash bar as you cheer on your favorite players. Visit boomprowrestling.com to purchase your tickets. And hurry, because this event is sure to be a knockout. Don't miss Boom Pro Wrestling at UBC campus on March 22nd.
And we back, and we back, and we back from the break to talk about more predictions from years past. Just ran through a docket of some decade-old hip-hop predictions. Unfortunately, with the pop predictions, I couldn't find a thread that was 10 years old. So we're just going to have to...
Shoot us some contemporary ones.
Yeah, so the pop ones that we're going into here are... It's a 3-year-old thread for predictions for 2023.
Okay.
So we're just coming out of 2023 now. If you didn't know, it's 2024 now. So we have the full, I guess, you know, the full amount of hindsight available to us to look over these predictions. So, So this first prediction, first prediction we'll talk about here comes from a person who deleted their account. So
be a bad take.
No, they have this comment has like 8 takes in it. We can work through maybe.
It's meaty.
We'll work through.
Just hit us with one.
Yeah.
So we get a variety.
Mm-hmm. Taylor will release her 8th album in 2022. And like Lover, it will fail to have much cultural impact, but Swifties will continue to buy/stream it. It will be another pop album destined to have big hit singles, but it will fail much like with Me. The song with Brandon Urie.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
that was almost spot on.
Mm-hmm. That's another one that was pretty good.
It's wildly accurate, but it's also not accurate at all because the whole Lover album has Cruel Summer, which is still in the top 10, and it's the longest running female solo song in the top 10.
But I thought Cruel Summer recently came out.
It's off Lover. It's off album. So it's a 5-year-old song that climbed up to number one. That's what's so insane about it.
Well, isn't that like... I thought I read something somewhere that Cruel Summer was the opening song on her tour, and that's why it shot up. Like, that was the first song in her set list.
Yeah, I guess so.
They also added a bunch of songs to Lover that, like, weren't situational, that didn't situationally work for the record. There was a song, I know this because I remember Louis Bell posted it, and I follow Louis Bell.
Yeah.
And he was like, so glad that people can finally hear this.
So she released a deluxe of it?
She just added a bunch of songs to it, and I thought Cruel Summer. The song was called, To All the Girls You've Known Before or something. And it was about, like not being in a relationship. I don't know. But, the content didn't fit with, the album's itinerary.
No, Cruel Summer has been there
was
since,
on it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was just serviced to radio after the streams probably increased during tour.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. So, but then also, Midnights Again, I think is even, in my opinion, even worse of an album than Lover because while it doesn't have the low points like Me, it's just so middle ground. It doesn't hit the highs of like Cruel Summer, but it also doesn't hit the lows. So it's more, you know, mid.
Yeah. it also didn't have. I don't feel like it. I mean, Anti-Hero
that's
obviously
a huge
hit. So I guess it did have a huge hit.
How big was Anti-Hero? I can't even remember.
It's one of the longest running top tens ever too. Both
that was one of my least favorite songs off that album. Honestly,
I like that.
I
song.
Did not. Like
I like
Anti-Hero.
I like Anti-Hero.
It's cool for like a because you could tell she made it to be a radio hit, but also she has like some witty, cool lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like it doesn't fully compromise artistic integrity.
When is the next Taylor album? April 8th or
that's
something?
This oh, yeah, that's the month. That's... I wonder how that album seems like a totally different thing though.
I know.
From...
Post Malone's on the intro track.
That's what threw me off. That's
I know.
Gonna be interesting.
Huh, it'd be cool if she had just like trap drums.
We went back to beer bongs and Bentleys.
Dude, I love beer bongs and Bentleys.
That'd be so funny.
Anyway, should we move on?
Yeah.
I don't have much to say about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That DJ hasn't already said.
Yep. Oh man. Okay, so this one's, again, like a lot of these were just bullet, like people throwing in a bunch of different bullet points.
Yeah.
This one, God, another deleted user. What is it with this thread?
There's a shame, man.
I don't know. The mods are going crazy on PopFans.
I've deleted like 5 Reddit accounts. Before,
somebody says Lil Nas X is kind of forgotten in 3 years.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
I don't think so at all.
Very true. His last single fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, that's a fact. I forgot what it was called.
But that was also...
People really didn't like that.
But that single wasn't... It was like for something, right? Like those... It was like for a soundtrack or something.
No, the Jesus one. Not
Oh, right, Jake.
Yeah, see? You didn't even...
Yeah, wow.
So see, that's the thing. His thing, whole thing is...
Not Star-walking.
He seems so... And his music in this is like a little harsh. Like... People like have said this before too. His music seems very gimmicky because people thought he was gonna be a one-hit wonder with Old Town Road and all that.
Yeah.
So then after that, he has big, you know, like controversial moment, which was very, it felt manufactured, the whole
Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, that whole thing. And then he has a take with the biggest, he has the song with Jack Harlow, which was the biggest rapper, most relevant at the time. So those did well.
Well, no, I think that, song made Jack Harlow relevant.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, he wasn't as relevant, he was just the What's Poppin' guy before that. Okay. And then that song is what propelled him to be into the zeitgeist fully.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but I think he tried that again and people sort of fell through it because he's trying to have a whole controversial moment.
Yeah.
And then it just makes it seem like he can't release music without having that. So when this failed, I don't know. He isn't. Yeah.
But yeah, but at the same time, though,
it doesn't seem like a sustainable.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, Montero is a good album. And Call Me By Your Name is a great song. And Industry Baby, I think, is a really fun song.
Montero has 3 songs over 1 billion streams.
Yeah, and then That's What I Want is probably, I think, the 3rd song over 1 billion there, too, right?
That was, Montero was 2021, 2022.
Mm-hmm. Montero was September 17th, 2021.
Yeah, so it's been.
He's due.
He's
been
due.
2.5 years.
He's due.
So
we have to wait till the next album.
We have to see for the album.
Because
I'll probably listen to that album.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be as big.
I thought Jay Christ was kind of an odd song. There was like a, it just didn't really work for me. A lot of people I saw online, it must have just been like conservative people, had like a really big problem with the record art or the single art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And obviously that was probably the point.
Yes.
But
I don't think anyone liked it though, too, because
no, it only has 28 million streams.
Yeah,
yeah, like it wasn't.
It's a 2-month-old song,
catchy
today.
Or anything like that either. Like it just, it kind of came and went. So I guess that prediction, I think, maybe still remains to be seen.
I'd say it's holding true so far. Especially like Lil Nas X hater, but off single performance,
we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out what he's truly made of with the second album, but. I'm gonna still, like, he's still like a household name.
Like, dude, he's got so many good producers working with him too.
Of course.
Like, he's stacked with talent, like, making the record. So
yeah,
we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's probably never back to where he was, like, even Montero. But I would hedge a bet that he has at least one more hit.
Sorry.
What's next?
I have a Lord one for you, DJ.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I'm locked in.
Oh, he's locked in.
This is from user Tip of the Yikesburg.
All right, let's see what he's got to say.
That sounds like a DJ-esque name.
This may just be my comment.
Lord continues being Lord. Gardening and baking out in New Zealand. She pushes out album 3 in spring of 2021 and receives similar acclaim to Melodrama, but is slightly less successful commercially than it. She'll pull a Frank Ocean and won't tour the album, but rather do some standalone one-off shows and festivals.
Kind of accurate.
Ooh. Well.
Kind of accurate, but
how did you feel about
Power? Not accurate, actually. She did a tour. It was not critically acclaimed.
It wasn't too critically acclaimed. And it wasn't even close to Melodrama.
And
no, not at all. Not near the acclaim that Melodrama had. Did she tour? You said she toured it.
She toured it. I went to the concert in Seattle.
Hey. Wow. Yeah. I didn't even know she toured it.
It was an amazing tour, though. Great show.
Oh, did you like Solar Power?
I like it. I can respect to it. Yeah. I can respect it. It's not something I listen to too often because it's just not like the Lord I listen to. But it's decent. It's not bad, but it's not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's groundbreaking at all. And I think she's capable of much more. But she herself has said she wanted to make something true, like a sign of the times and representative of what she's doing at the time. So she's in COVID and lockdown. We talked about this.
I know.
Yeah, so she's making, you know, she gets quiet. I'm writing about introspective thoughts. She releases that. Trust me, the next album.
Are you certain? Like, do you think she, I mean, she can never make anything like Melodrama again. What direction do you assume she goes in? Because she's not a teenager anymore. Those emotions aren't there. You can't draw on those emotions.
Well, in place of that, there's so many more exciting things. And we're growing up alongside her, so whatever she speaks on, I think it's going to hit because we're in a relative same stage of life as with her.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
that's a great point, actually, because she was like a kid when she got famous.
Yeah, yeah. She was
like Royal. Like, she was like 16 when Royals came out.
Yeah, she wrote it. No, it came out when she's 15, and then but it was out for a little while. And then Pure Heroine was released when she was 16. Melodrama was when she was 19.
Dude, DJ and I, like, sleuthed her wiki. She's a clinically diagnosed genius.
Oh, so, wow.
That's why all of her stuff seems sonically so mature, because she's when she was 16, she had like the mental of like a 20-year-old or something.
Dude, imagine making white teeth teens at 15 years old.
Oh my god.
That's
low white teeth teens.
Impressive as heck,
dude,
man.
Dude, yeah, if you were a genius, you would be like, you'd just be able to read everything so much. I mean, I wish I was a genius.
Who says you aren't?
The doctor.
I thought you were going to say my transcript.
Anyways, we'll get a few more.
Yeah.
Any Bruno Mars ones?
Ooh. Any Bruno Mars ones?
But I guess those, I mean, because an evening with Silk Sonic was so out of the blue that like they wouldn't even really matter.
Silk Sonic did really well.
I liked, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if the album was great. I liked a few songs a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
it's weird. Yeah, so the Silk Sonic album is, yeah, it's kind of weird because I feel like every song in isolation is pretty great. Like, Leave the Door Open and Skate and
Smoking
Out the Window. Even, like, 777 and Blast Off. Like, it's all good, really good music. But I feel like as a complete project, it just didn't. It felt like less than the sum of its parts for some reason.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah, no, I think I have the same opinion.
Which I don't really.
I wonder if it suffered from the success of Leave the Door Open, because that was the best song on the record.
Yeah.
And
it was also a very short. It was like 9 songs, too.
Was it?
Which is very Bruno Mars.
Did it come out? Did it come out fall 2022 or fall 2021?
2021, everything. Old thing was 2021.
Okay, well, that time as well, what I explained, it was. I think it was around that time. It was very drowned out with Taylor Swift's All Too Well 10-minute version and Adele's 30 being released. Because all that, I remember, took place over, like, a period of, like, a month and a half. So I think it was just a lot happening that sort of just got swept away.
Yeah, but that stuff didn't affect my enjoyment of the album.
Okay.
It didn't affect the amount I would want to listen to that album because I wasn't.
Because I don't want to consider it.
I didn't care for Easy on Me, so I didn't really listen to 30 or anything.
I can't even. I listened to 30 once. It's still too much for me. I just don't know where I would listen to that again.
I haven't listened to it once all the way through ever.
Fair enough.
Anyways, that's another thing.
Anyways, and now if Bruno Mars does release one more album, it'll be fantastic because all he does is release.
I do, but I want him to have his own. More so identity. It seems like with Bruno Mars, it feels like he's playing the role of legends. You know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of new, like, iconic pop culture figures happening. Because
he did get famous being an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah, so it feels like a lot of his work just feels like he's impersonating these big 80s acts. Like, because you'll see with 24 Karat Magic, there's so much, you know.
That's only 24 Karat Magic, though.
Yeah, but then
you
after
wouldn't
that,
have said that about Doo-Wops and Hooligans or Unorthodox Jukebox.
Silk Sonic has a...
but that's the point.
So, yeah, that is a point. So, but for the last...
Two records.
Yeah, but that spans a lot of
time.
Yeah,
it's like
that's
8 years.
That's the thing,
8
though.
Years with Bruno Mars, because he drops every, like, 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm. So he's been sort of... a glorified impersonator, feels
yeah,
like.
Kind of cosplaying.
Because I think if you went and you listened to Unorthodox Jukebox front to back, you'd be like, you would forget that.
Okay, but that's
2010.
That album's in the ninth grade now, though.
Yeah, but
oh my god,
we're not denying. I don't think DJ's denying Bruno Mars' greatness.
No, but Bruno Mars is not going to make another 80s record.
But I mean,
not after
like,
that
Uptown Funk,
Sonic performance.
But Uptown Funk was like very much like that.
It was a lot like
that.
That's
Mark
Ronson.
That's totally different. Mark Ronson.
Yeah,
that's
but
not
his
no,
culturally
it's
defining.
But it's not his ideas. It's Mark Ronson's.
You don't think Bruno Mars was in there giving him ideas?
But it's of course he was. But like that was kind of to capitalize on the sound Bruno Mars was already on, and then Silk Sonic kind of put the cap on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was so egregiously 70s that you just can't go anywhere further from that. He's going to transition, like, his own, he's, like, the point of 24 Karat Golden was to switch the sound, right? You can't make 3, like, power ballad pop records in a row. You just can't.
Mm.
And it's just, people just don't want to listen to that.
Yeah.
And so.
But where does he move to? Because he's so stuck, it feels like, for me, he's so stuck in this space now.
He can do whatever he wants, bro, trust me. He's unbelievable. Bruno Mars is one of the few people whose music I think people will still listen to in 50 years. Like songs like Grenade, When I Was Your Man, Treasure, Lazy Song, Count on Me. Like, dude, those like that dude's released like 35 songs, and like 30 of them are like A-level songs. Like, regardless of what he does, you know it's going to be good. Yeah. I don't, I mean, and he might just never release music again, too. He can do that.
Yeah. I do agree. Like, he is with you, DJ. Like, he's been in the same space for, like,
yeah. So I just want to see how he comes out of it, if that's successful. But then again,
it will seems be like successful.
Everything he touches is successful. Yeah, exactly. But is it able to, you know, sort of erase or create his own singular legacy? And is he able to, like, change his image up where it lasts?
Well,
or is this always going to be the image of him? Because to me, when I think of him, I see, like, him during the 24-karat magic.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm. That's not who I see at all. I see him with the fedora. Really?
Yeah, I think I'm... But, yeah, to count... Sorry, I just hit the microphone. But, like, I do, like, think of him as, like, the locked out of heaven person.
Okay,
more
okay.
than any of his other, like I still associate him with that era.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said, that album is in the 9th grade now.
Oh my god.
That's a 10 out of 10 record we didn't talk about.
Oh yeah.
Unorthodox Jukebox. That is an insane record, man.
For sure.
One more?
Yeah, we can pull off one more. Sorry, I'm just like vetting through these different saved comments that I have here. But I think, we're gonna go with, I lost it. I'm sorry. Now I gotta fill dead air. Here we go. Harry Styles will win Album of the Year with his third album released in 2023. Everyone will love it except pop heads who can't forgive him for being a straight man with a passionate fan base.
Harry Styles is awesome.
So
he did win Album of the Year.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
The album came out. So when is this thread from?
This is 2020.
So that album, was it Fine Line?
No, the
2020 album was Fine. 2019, late 2019, early 2020 album was Fine Line. So around this time.
But they're saying with his third album.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm saying with that is, I think Fine Line, it was doing decently well. It had that one single and it was doing okay. But summer 2020, after COVID took off, Adore You and Watermelon Sugar just catapulted. And they did very, 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 very well. I think with that success,
really?
Watermelon Sugar went number one and Adore You.
Yeah, but I thought that in 2020, I wasn't hearing that at all.
I was hearing it everywhere. Oh. At least if you tune in, like, for pop, it was
Watermelon. Oh, I mean, I don't listen to the radio, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
but,
in the circles of people I hung out with, I heard it. I heard Watermelon Sugar and Adore You so much when it dropped, but after like 6 months, it teetered out.
Mm. Yeah, but then after that, 2022, I think spring.
Yeah, 2022 is
Julius as it was.
Yeah, that's his best record. That album is amazing.
Yeah, I think I haven't listened to it for a long time. I think it's a good album, but
yeah,
it won Album of the Year. It's certified. He built off like his strong points of Fine Line very, very well. It's not super sonically different from it either. But he just sort of, you know, he takes away what he's doing well, builds upon that. The stuff that he sort of, he took a note from critics, though, because I remember him saying that himself. Whatever they didn't like about it, the inconsistencies and Fine Line, he separated himself further from that. And that's why I think Harry Styles did really, really well.
It's a cool concept, too. Like him wanting, like this would be the music you would hear in his house, like the playlist of his life.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite. I love Harry's house. I love almost every song on Harry's house. I think it's his best records, like really top of the line pop.
And on that note, we have to end this, unfortunately.
Oh,
it is 6 p.m. Our time is up. So thank you all for listening to this episode of Music's on the Menu. Thank you, DJ, for coming and sitting in with us.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you, Hugh, for still wanting to do this with me every week, I guess. And thank you to myself for getting myself in this chair.
Thank you, Alex Bird. We have to leave.
So. Stay tuned to CITR. The people who are up next are standing outside the door right now, so there will be more programming for you to enjoy.